To Birdies, Bogies, Bushwood, presented by Seeds to Get Fantasy Football. I'm Magna Mills, and I'm all right. Don't nobody worry about me. I am once again flying solo, this time to talk about the 2024 Arnold Palmer Invitational. Thank you very much for checking out Birdies, Bogies, Bushwood, again presented by Seeds to Get Fantasy Football. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. And on YouTube, find us on social media at SeesTheGapFF and on the interwebs at SeesTheGapFF.com. Thanks for remembering all that. And while you're at it, don't forget the flaps. Follow, like, and please subscribe. It's all we ask. If you had fun, please remember, hit that thumb.
$50 the Smales kid picks his nose.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead, pour yourself a nice, cool Arnold Palmer while I go over my results from last week from the Cognizant Classic. Going easy on Russell Henley was a good move, but going heavy on Eric Cole was a complete disaster. Was literally in last after round one. Not great, Bob. I passed on Shane Lowry, finished T4. That was definitely a good move in your DFS cash games and whatnot. You cashed the top five ticket, so probably not the greatest move to fade him last week. We'll see how it works out this week. And fading Daniel Berger was a good move, but it did get me over on Yahoo, where I did have him in the majority of my lineups because he was only the stone cold minimum $20 over there. One final fade, Adam Svensson. That was definitely a good move. He was a little bit of the chalk value play over on DraftKings, and he missed the cut, so solid fade there. As far as the low-owned guys, I pointed out that there was some utility in going with both Matthew Fitzpatrick and Minwoo Lee. Minwoo Lee really made good, finishing T2 at low ownership. Fitzpatrick was decent, T21. There was a minute there I thought he was going to do a fair bit better, but you'll still take it at the ownership, but not great at the cost. Minwoo Lee was definitely the better play. And going with Brendan Todd in my cash games did not work out as he missed the cut as well. Sprinkled in a little bit of Ricky Fowler in my GPP lineups. Looked like it was maybe a little something going after Saturday, but definitely did not come through. Finished T41 at 72 in the final round. Really kind of took the legs out of it there. As far as my wagers, I had a very limited number of win place wagers. Had Alex Noren to win, did not win, but did finish T9. So if you had a top 10 ticket, you cashed that bad boy. I had Denny McCarthy plus 500 to finish in the top 10. He missed the cut. Not a good week for the putter first guys. Billy Ho, I had Billy Horschel plus 1,000 to finish in the top 10. And guess what? Billy Horschel finished T9. So bully for me. We got one there. We like that. Final one was Taylor Pendrith plus 360 to finish in the top 20. And he also missed the cut. I had a few round one leader bets. I had Tom Hoagie, Doug Gim, and Maverick McNealy. None of them got there. Gim was the closest at a 68. Chad Ramey and SH Kim tied for the first round lead at 64. I had a couple of round one group matchups. I had Matthew Fitzpatrick versus Tom Kim. I went with Fitzpatrick. Tom Kim won by two strokes. And then I had Minwoo Lee versus Denny McCarthy. Went with McCarthy here plus 105, and Minwoo Lee took it down by two strokes. Had a pair of round one three balls. The first one was Corey Connors, Matt Wallace, Billy Horschel. I had Billy Horschel plus 215, and Billy Ho came through for me once again here. It was a good week for him. I also had Sepp Straka, Ricky Fowler, Sungjae Im. I had Sungjae plus 150. He did not get there. Had a 71. Straka took it down by three strokes. I had one cut wager, Cameron Young, to miss the cut. And Cameron Young finished tied for fourth. So yeah, another one that just did not really work out for me. Had one group wager, Ben Ann, Keith Mitchell, Daniel Berger, Rasmus Højgaard, and Steven Yeager. I went with Steven Yeager plus 360. He missed the cut. Keith Mitchell at minus 12 wound up taking that one down. I had one triple chance. That was Matthew Fitzpatrick, Eric Cole, or Sungjae Im to win. That obviously didn't get there. And then I had a top 20 finish parlay. So all three of these golfers had to finish in the top 20 to pay out. I had JT Poston, Eric Cole, and Brandon Wu. And if it had been a miss the cut parlay, that would have been great because all three of them missed the cut. I had three recommendations for your one and done contest. Chris Kirk, who finished T28, took him a little bit under 60 grand. It didn't kill you, but not what you were hoping for, certainly. Keith Mitchell was a better play, finished T9th, brought home 230K for your trouble. Not bad there. You probably weren't going to use Keith Mitchell anywhere else, and I doubt a lot of people had Austin Eckroat. And my other recommendation was Eric Cole, as I already mentioned, missed the cut. Second time he is kind of taking me to the woodshed here in one and done this year. I will probably go back for a third time because I love that hot stove.
Let's do this thing.
On to this week, where we have the Arnold Palmer Invitational. This is a signature event where at least 50 golfers in the limited field will make the cut. We are still in Florida on the Florida Swing. We moved over to Bay Hill Country Club and Lodge in Orlando. This is a par 72 playing at 7,466 yards with Bermuda greens. Definitely one of the toughest non-major tracks on the tour. You got a lot of water. You got fast Bermuda greens, you got thick penal rough, and scrambling's not going to be easy. Water everywhere. There's trouble lurking almost on every hole. You're going to have to avoid those bogeys. You're going to have to be able to go up and down, and you're going to really need to strike those approach shots from 200 yards plus out. So pay attention to the proximity category as far as that goes. And again, as usual, we're going to want to lean on the strokes gained approach is one of my favorite stats here. First decent field in a minute, really. So we got that going for us, which is nice. In all seriousness, this is one of the best fields of the season so far. So you're going to be able to utilize a bunch of different approaches when it comes to your DFS lineups. And you've got a lot more wagers that are enticing than you've had the last couple of weeks with the more limited fields. Let's talk a little DFS before moving on to some wagers. We're going to mostly talk about DraftKings over here. On DK, you've got six guys priced between 11.3 and 9,500. Scheffler, McIlroy, Cantlay, Hovland, Schauffele, and Åberg. Again, all between 11.3 and 9.5. All but Cantlay and Hovland are projecting it over 20% ownership. Rory at 10.6 is projected to be the highest owned player overall. That being said, I'm still definitely going to have some exposure to him in tournaments, and he's probably locked into my cash lineups, my 50-50 lineups, heads up, that kind of thing. And Hovland is probably the guy that's a little bit interesting here. I'm totally fine dropping down, paying 9,900 for him in tournaments. He's projected for about half of Rory's ownership, call it about 12, 13% to Rory's 25, 26%. Hovland has finished 10th here last year, second the year before. So he really checks all the boxes for a good GPP play here. Again, $700 cheaper than Rory at about half the ownership. So I think I'm going to get to him quite a bit more than Rory when I'm building kind of out of the top half of the structure here. If you're going to go with one of the more expensive guys, don't mind Cantlay, but I think I prefer Hovland. As far as guys in the mid-range, here are the guys right now on DraftKings I'm projecting for over 15% ownership that I haven't already mentioned. Cameron Young, 8,700, about 20%. Will Zalatoris, 8,900, about 18%. Keegan Bradley, 7,400, 17%. Corey Connors, 7,800, 16%. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 8,600, 16%. Adam Scott, 7,500, 16%. Jordan Spieth, 9,400, 15%. Sam Burns, 9,300, 15%. And Harris English, 7,300, 15%. I think I'm most likely to eat the chalk with Matthew Fitzpatrick and Keegan Bradley. Both have outstanding history here. Both have been very good on difficult courses, and both have excellent histories in Florida. I don't really mind Cameron Young. He got me last week. I had him on the miscut bet. He finished T4. He's in excellent form. His last two appearances here, he's finished 10th and 13th. I'm definitely going to mix him into my tournament lineups, but I don't know if I'll be going there in my cash games, my 50-50s, my head-to-heads. It pretty much wash, rinse, repeat. Same analysis for Corey Connors. He's finished 21st, 11th, and 3rd here the last 3 years. And also probably, again, get Sam Burns in there. He's a bit more of a mixed history here, but did finish 9th in 2022. Another guy who excels on difficult tracks, and he is a very, very good Bermuda putter. I'm out on Will Zalatoris, Harris English, and Adam Scott at this ownership, at their various price points. Just not really interested in those three. I am going to look elsewhere. Not saying I wouldn't get to them if you're building, 50, 100 lineups or whatever, but if I'm just building 10, 20 lineups, I don't think I'm going to go with any of those guys. Jordan Spieth is definitely a course horse here, but he's just not a guy I like to go to when he's picking up some ownership. The form isn't great, so I just think I'm going to let somebody else take the plunge there. Again, I would prefer just to go with Keegan Bradley and Matthew Fitzpatrick as far as the guys catching some ownership in this range. As far as my favorite other plays, give me the sandwich man, Tom Hoagie, 7,100. Good form, finished 15th here back in 2020. I'm not wild that he's picking up about 13% ownership, but he is a boom or bust tournament play like him in my GPP builds. I don't love the price tag on Tommy Fleetwood at 8,800. I was hoping for a couple hundred bucks cheaper, but he checks all the boxes here. He has had previous success, finished 20th in 2022, 10th in 2021, and 3rd back in 2019. Finished 10th in his last event, so he's got some good form, and he has been excellent on difficult courses, Bermuda greens, with a great history in Florida. So again, flying a little bit under the radar, checking all the boxes. Chris Kirk might be the sneakiest course horse in the field. His previous four appearances here, he's finished 39th, 5th, 8th, and 15th. And he has an excellent track record in Florida. We like all of those things here. Max Homa at 9,200 might be my favorite play in the 9K range overall. He has been great on difficult courses and in Florida and been solid putt, and he's been a solid putter on Bermuda greens. Finished 16th in his last event, so he's got some decent form going on, and he's had a nice history here as well. Finished 14th, 17th, 10th, and 24th in his last four appearances here. And one of my favorite GPP plays is my man Sungjae Im, 9,300, barely picking up ownership, call it about 5%. Recent form is just outright bad. Miscut, 44th, 66, 66, not great, Bob, but he has been solid at difficult courses and in Florida and on Bermuda greens. He has a great course history, finishing 21st, 20th, 21st, 3rd, and 3rd in the last five runnings of the event. And again, that low ownership, I am certainly not going there in cash games, but I am willing to take a shot on him getting comfortable on a course he's played well at, rounding back into form, and making me some money at low ownership. I do have a couple of other fades here. Luke List at 7,000 feels like a classic don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe play. I never target him and Keegan Bradley in the same week. I have been proven wrong. They are indeed different people, but it just for some reason, they never seem to hit at the same time. I am staying away from Luke List here. I'm also going to stay away from Jake Knapp. I wound up going back to him in a few lineups last week. That worked out. I know the form is awesome. I know the price tag at 7,600 is great, but it's just not an event where I'm comfortable taking first timers. So I'm going to fade him here, let everybody else take the ownership and maybe kind of hopefully pick him up at a little bit more of a sneaky play next time or the event after sometime in the near future because the kid is very, very good. Matthew Pavon, same thing here. He's 9,700. He's got good form going on. I think people are going to want to be, getting on the train a little bit early or whatever. They want to be an early adopter. I'm just going to go ahead and say again, not going to go with a first timer here. I think there are enough other options on the board. You can avoid that. Again, if you're building 50 lineups, knock yourself out, get a little exposure, but I'm not getting there in single entry, three max, five, 10 lineups, that kind of thing.
Hey, Smells, $1,000 you missed that putt.
All right, let's move on to the wagers. I hit some last week, so excited to keep it going, build some real momentum. All lines are from the DraftKings Sportsbook and are accurate as of Tuesday, March 5th, call it 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As far as win bets, going to take a couple of shots here. The names are probably going to be fairly familiar as I've mentioned them already. You've got Keegan Bradley at plus 5,000, Corey Connors at plus 5,000, and Tom Hoagie at plus 7,000. One top 10 wager here, Adam Svensson plus 800 to finish in the top 10. My short-term form model loves him. He's been great on difficult tracks, and he recorded a top 25 finish here last year. So I don't mind getting a little bit of action there at plus 800. I always love my round one leader bets. Going to roll it up again here with Tom Hoagie plus 5,000. Tried it last week. I'm going back to the well. I have Kurt Kitayama plus 5,000 again, round one leader. And finally, Adam Svensson plus 6,000 to be the round one leader in the clubhouse. I got two cut wagers this week, both on guys who missed the cut. Erik Cole, you smited me last week, so I'm going against you here. You are plus 250 to miss the cut. I'm getting down on that a little bit. And also, Luke List, I spoke ill of you earlier as far as DFS. I am also going to get down on plus 180 that you will miss the cut. So sorry, Luke List. One double chance wager. This is either of the guys has to win. I have Sungjae Im or Keegan Bradley to win at plus 2,800. As far as my triple chance wagers, I have two of them. Again, you just need one of the three guys to win to pay it off. First one is Max Homa, Jason Day, Sungjae Im, plus 1,000. Second one is Max Homa, Tom Kim, or Keegan Bradley, plus 1,100. Again, one of those guys has to win to pay off the wager. As far as tournament matchups, I'm just going with one interesting one all the way at the top, Scottie Scheffler versus Rory McIlroy. Give me Rory plus 105. I'm feeling it. I know Scheffler's also played this event well. I just feel like everything is lining up perfectly for Rory here. I got a couple of tournament long three balls. First one is Cameron Young, Justin Thomas, Jason Day. Give me Cameron Young plus 165. I was wrong on you last week. I'm feeling it this week. I like that plus 165 there. And the other one is Minwoo Lee, Harris English, Ben Ann. Give me my man, Ben Ann, plus 175. He's had some success at this event over the years. He's a bit of a streaky player, but I am feeling it here. And finally, I have one top 20 finish parlay. All three of these guys have to finish in the top 20 to pay it off. And this one is Cameron Young, Ben Ann, and Sungjae Im, plus 1,300. Again, all three have to finish in the top 20. Before we get out of here, just going to touch on a couple of one and done options for the week. This is a signature event. The winner is taking home $4 million. So go ahead, bust out the big dogs if you want here. In fact, the top four finishers will all bring home at least $1 million. I have three options for you here, kind of, top, middle, bottom. I wouldn't quite say it that way. I think all three are viable. You have a lot of options because of the quality of the field, but these three I like in particular. Right up top, Rory McIlroy. I know some people are going to want to save him, or especially for a major, what have you. This is a very nice $4 million purse. Everything lines up for him here. I don't think he's going to pick up as much ownership as he should, again, because everyone is going to want to save him for a later date. So go ahead. If you want to burn Rory in your one and done, I am co-signing on that. If you want to drop down a little bit, give me Tommy Fleetwood. Already talked about him, checks all the boxes here. I don't think he's going to pick up very much ownership in your one and done format. So, and a guy I like, because he's not a great fit anywhere either. He's always a good fit in a lot of courses, but there's no one track that really stands out for me when it comes to Fleetwood. So if you want to run him this week, I think that's a okie dokie. And finally, Keegan Bradley, no real surprise. I was on him for the win wager. I like him in DFS. He's been a very, very good performer on this course over the history of his career. I'm confident he can do so again. Again, a guy who's done very well in these difficult tracks and in Florida. So Keegan Bradley, you're probably not going to pull the trigger on him unless it's at a smaller event, maybe with a weaker field. And in that case, too many people are going to be on him. I love the opportunity to get some leverage on the field, getting him as a low-owned guy here with a $4 million purse out there. So again, don't be afraid to take some chances here. You can roll Rory out, or you can dip down to Keegan Bradley. You got a lot of options. Should be a fun event. Looking forward to checking it out. And that's it. That was Birdie Bogeys Bushwood for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Thank you very much for checking us out. Again, presented by Seize the Gap Fantasy Football. Find us wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, on social media at Seize the Gap FF, on the internet at seizethegapff.com. Thank you for remembering all of that. Thank you for remembering the flaps. Follow, like, and please subscribe. If you had fun, please remember, hit that thumb. I'm Magna Mills, and if you thought this was the worst golf show ever, it's all right. I bet you get a free bowl of soup with it.
Oh, it looks good on you, though.